morning.
Good morning.
Will you join us in prayer? Our great and mighty God, we thank you for the times that you have blessed us in the past. But here we are today, dear Lord. Just a few of us here. But would we ask you to bless us?
Yes.
Time is too precious to waste. We're asking the Holy Spirit to make this a profitable time for us all. We ask you to suit a blessing for each one.
Yes, Lord.
You know the deepest needs of everyone present at this hour of service. We ask you to minister, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through your power, as you alone can do. We confess human efforts are not adequate or sufficient to touch the spirit and heart and souls of individuals. You have to give an increase.
Yes, yes.
And unless you build a house, they that labor, their efforts are in vain. So we're asking for the backing of the Holy Spirit today to bless this hour of service. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. The good news that I bring today is that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Savior, is able to revive,
yes,
to restore,
yes,
to renew,
yes.
He has the power and the ability to do that. The Word of God in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, declares a promise that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The renewing power of God is in nature. Have you ever looked at a flower that was drooped over and just some H2O put on that flower could make it stand up?
Yes.
Renewing can be in the physical.
Yes.
Sister Ruth testified last Wednesday night about how she had had a bad day last week. Why don't you just tell it, Sister Ruth? The what about coming to the devotion? How you were so old.
That Monday, I think it was. And I had been drunk, yeah, I think that's pretty close, and I drank all that day, and I was planning to go to the home church, but anyway, Mary Lawson that I go. So, Lord bless me out of my heart, you know. And as I went, and in the devotion, Lord, just be fine, and touch my body, and just give me added strength, and just knowing just to me, and we thank you, Lord, for that. And I was talking about it, so I guess that's what you're talking about.
Renew strength.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When we were at the Bakersfield camp meeting, Brother Paul Phillips did his testimony on Sunday morning about how the Lord had blessed him. He had a very severe illness that drained his strength, caused him to be so weak that he was down on the floor in the bathroom. And he had three symptoms of death. And he named off those symptoms. And he was unconscious. And he may have felt that he actually died. That life actually left him. But however that was, he waited on the Lord.
Amen.
Even in his unconscious state, there were those that prayed him back to consciousness. And the Lord began to give him strength. And one way he tested out his strength was to play basketball in the hot weather. And he played a pretty good game of basketball. So God renewed his strength.
Yes.
My father at one time in his life had nose hemorrhages. And it weakened him so bad that there was a period of time he took off from work. His strength was just very much depleted. But God blessed him, and before he retired, he was a journeyman sheet metal man, and he worked, he drove miles on the freeway and then worked 8 hours a day, come home miles away from the job site. He would drive home through the congestion and traffic and able to go back the next day. So there is in the physical the ability to renew.
Yes.
Even when you get so tired and weary sometime, if you can get a good sound rest, you can feel better the next day. In the spiritual, David said, "Thou restorest my soul."
Yes.
So there is a spiritual renewal too.
Amen.
Ability to be renewed in spirit.
Yes.
And this could be a renewal of courage.
Yes.
The song poet said, "Sometimes I think I dare not one step farther go. And from my heart all courage has disappeared and gone." See? Depleted of courage can make one weak.
Yes.
Spiritually weak.
Yes.
But in this state and in this condition, this person got a courage transfusion when they looked at Jesus. When I remember Jesus and all that he's done for me, then I cry,
"Yes.
O rock of ages, hide thou me."
Yes.
One song said, "Press all my soul to glory, my courage is renewed. The devil is defeated." See? Courage sometimes needs to be renewed in the heart of God's people.
That's so.
Yes.
One of the outstanding characters in the Old Testament. He was a man that at one point took on a challenge. There was 450 in opposition of him. And he was the only solitary figure on the Lord's side. And it was that the God that would answer by fire. Now, he was pretty bold and courageous to stand before the people and to make that kind of, that's going out on a limb. That's really going out on a limb. But he went out on that limb, and they had their turn, the opposition did, and then he had his turn, and that sacrifice was made. The altar had been repaired, and then he kind of asked an off-the-wall request. See, they were low on water anyway, because it had been 3.5 years.
Yes.
There hadn't been a drop of water.
Yes.
Here they were out in this
blistering hot sun, not a cloud in the sky or nothing. And all of this crowd that had assembled there. And then he asked for water. And can you imagine somebody scratching their head? I always thought he was a little strange, but now we know he's losing it. The sun's getting to it. But at any rate, he had courage enough to have that doused with barrels and barrels and barrels of water.
Yes.
And then just kind of a simple little prayer. There was no magic, no lighter fluid, but the power of God let the fire fall.
Yes.
Wouldn't you think a man like that would have a lot of courage? He did it at that time. And had a lot of courage to declare to the king that it wasn't going to rain. And it didn't. But you know, one time his courage got so low that he was running from a woman. And he got so despondent and in such a state of despair, he was willing to throw in the towel and die. It tells about there in Kings, the First Kings, the 19th chapter. Oh, we'll pick up there on the third verse. And when he saw that he had arose and went for his life, and came to Bathsheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, "It is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." This great and mighty man who was asking to die, he could have saved that prayer. You know, he never did die. Amen. He never did die.
That's right.
His prayer was a vain prayer. He was feeling his gloom and doom and despair and being sought for. It just overwhelmed him. And his courage was just gone from him. And he prayed to the Lord, "It's enough. Lord, I want out. And I want to die. Just let me die." But you know, God didn't let him die. He didn't let him die then, and when it come time to leave this world, he left and he bypassed the cemetery.
Yes.
They didn't have to mourn around a coffin for Elijah. And so, at this point, though, his courage was at such a low ebb that he wanted to die. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wanted to resign from life? Just feel overwhelmed with whatever was facing you. And a lot of people get to that point. The suicide rates are escalating. And this great, outstanding man in the Old Testament wanted to die because his courage is gone. But God was able to help him keep on going. That's the thing. Though discouragements can come and dark times can come, and Sister Dorothy was testifying yesterday, and she's been in some real hot scorchers. But God can help her if she keeps on going.
Yes, that's so.
Elijah kept on going. And so, courage sometimes can need to be renewed in us. We perhaps all have experienced those low places in life where courage was at a low end.
Yes, that's true.
But there is a God that can renew.
Yes, amen.
And can give stimulant and strength in those weak times until He renews us. They that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord sometime are weak while they're waiting. If they weren't, they wouldn't have to have their strength renewed.
Yes.
Amen. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. While they're waiting, they're weak. While Brother Paul Phillips was waiting there for God, he was weak in his body. He couldn't even probably motivate on his own. His weakness in his physical body was to that extent.
Yes.
But God's renewed his strength today.
Yes.
As far as I know, he's leading a fairly normal life. He still has that awful affliction on the back of his head, I think. But God's renewed his physical strength.
Yes.
When it was gone, it was gone. God renewed Elijah's. Now, I don't think he ever asked to die again. I don't ever know of him asking and requesting that again. So the Lord helped him to. So there's renewal in that area.
Yes.
The spiritual strength, the courage. There's a renewal of, well, Samson. Remember him? Strong man. Can't you imagine how little children admired Samson? And maybe you might think of Samson as some big macho man with bulging muscles, but you can just see it underneath his shirt. Just had the admiration of children, and the women probably talked about him. Oh, he's got such, he's so much stronger than, anyway, they probably admired, like they admire a Joe Louis or people that excel.
Yes.
But you know, the Bible doesn't say he had big muscles, does it? What if he was as skinny as Alpheus? Would God got more of the glory? Sure. Whether he had big muscles or whether he was skinny, it was the power of God.
Yes, that's so.
That he was able to go one-on-one with a lion. And he was able to just pick up the gates of the city and walk off with them. And he took a bone and killed 1,000 men. That would have been something if he was real skinny and not looking like a real strong person. Well, he had a weakness.
Yes, that's so.
And that weakness was something that overpowered him. And this weakness that he had, this woman pressured him. Day after day. Put the pressure on him. Tell me your secret. She had conspired with the enemy. And he finally gives in. Laid his head down in the lap of the enemy.
Yes.
And when he woke up from his nap, his strength was gone. Can you imagine what kind of psychological effect that had on him? To be in the control of those who had been his victims, and now he was the victim, and they punched his eyes out, didn't they?
Yes.
Blinded him. And you know what? He had to work for his own enemy. In a prison. It took away his freedom. When he lost his strength, he lost his freedom too.
Yes.
But in this condition, they took him, and his hair began to grow again. They took him and was having a big party. A victory party. A victory celebration. You ever heard of victory celebration? They do that after a president is elected. They have a great big victory celebration. They've had victory over their enemy. Well, they was having this victory party. And they brought in Samson. How do you think he must have felt? Just the gazing, looking on him, and his being captivated. But you know what he did? He prayed to God.
Yes.
And he asked for strength. That's in Judges. He asked for strength. 16th chapter of Judges. Long in there. Yes, the 16th chapter and the 28th verse. If you can picture this in your mind, these people assembled in this house, and their purpose is to celebrate the victory of having their enemy captured. And it says, now the house was full of men and women. Probably it was just standing room only. And all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men. All these men and all these women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. He realized he was weak. But he talked to the Lord. Lord, strengthen me. He wanted a renewing of his strength that had left him. And you know, God granted him that request. He was able to get a hold of the pillars of this building. And with his mighty, phenomenal power that God strengthened him again, he was able to pull that building collapse. God renewed his strength.
Yes.
The God that we serve is a God of renewal, restoring, refreshing, reviving, and even resurrection.
Yes.
Ezekiel was handpicked and designated to preach to a valley of dry bones. Brother Charles, how would you like to have a message to go to the cemetery? Would you feel that would be very profitable to go out and preach to tombstones? Well, see, Ezekiel had the assignment to preach to a valley of dry bones. That was in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, I think it is. Talks about valley of dry bones.
Yes.
A whole valley of just bones, 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 and I think it said they were very dry.
Yes.
It wasn't just dry, it was very dry. Bleached dry by the sun. But he was given the assignment, you'll preach to him. Would that look like a hopeless situation?
Yes.
Does some cases today look hopeless?
Yes.
The people's beyond the reach.
Yes.
Well, he was faithful to do what his assignment was given him. And somebody start reading. You already started the first verse there.
And the Lord was on me and carried me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones.
Mm-hmm.
And called me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open.
There was a whole bunch of bones.
And behold, they were very dry.
Very dry.
He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones.
Mm-hmm.
Say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will call a breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinus upon you, and will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking.
A noise. What is noise? It was awful quiet, probably. You know, when you go out to the cemetery all by yourself, it's pretty quiet out there, unless the birds or surrounding environment noises. But no noise is coming from those people that are in the grave. So he preached and some noise started. So that noise is an indication of life, isn't it?
Yes.
There was some noise.
The whole was shaking.
And a shaking.
The bones came together.
Now, these bones had been out there so long that the shoulder bone probably wasn't connected to the bone down here. There was just scattered hither, thither, and yon. The bone here, the bone there.
Bone
maybe
to bone.
Bone
to bone.
Yeah, well, they come back bone to bone. The thigh bone come connected to the right bone. The knee bone come to the right bone. The ankle bone come to the right one. They had been all scattered and separated, and they got bone to bone. What happened after that?
And when I beheld, lo, the descendants of the flesh came upon them.
And they got some flesh.
The skin covered them above.
Uh-huh.
There was no breath in them.
They still didn't have breath.
Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Prophesy the Son of Man, and said to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, and breathe,
mm-hmm.
and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, and exceeding great army.
Now, is this resurrection?
Yes.
From dry bones, very dry, separated one from the other, and to have those bones come together and to get flesh on them and have breath in them, and then to raise them up to be a mighty army. Had to be God, didn't it?
Yes.
There's no medical technology anywhere that could have reproduced or resurrected this type of situation. And they were a mighty army. A mighty army. You know who this represents? Spiritually dead Israel.
Yes.
You know, there's a church that was told about in Revelation. Can you imagine a church operating without love? Don't you suppose that they were judgmental? Don't you suppose they had bad attitudes toward each other? They left their love. They were operating. Let's say they come to church on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And they were operating. But they were operating without love. Do you want to be in that kind of a church or congregation?
I know that works.
Yeah.
And our labor. And our patience. And our labor has not bound them which are evil. And I have tried them which stand down the apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And is born and has patience for my name's sake, and has labored and has fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against them, because they have lost their first love.
See, I think it said left.
Left.
Left their first love.
Yes.
They were operating without love.
Oh, my Lord.
Backbiting about each other, probably. Gossiping, probably, about each other. That's what goes on when the love of God's missing, isn't it?
Yes, that's so.
And this situation did not please the Lord, so they were sent an admonition. And what were they to do? What?
Remember therefore from whence thou hast fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy counseling out of this place that thou hast met.
So, they were not in a place where God's approval was on them, although they were going through the motion. They were going through the routine. But yet, they were operating without the love of God in their heart. You know that's possible?
Yes.
And this was a church, a congregation, that was operating void of the love of God. May God help us. That we will not be in that condition. And now, for those that are here today that have insight on things that need to be renewed amongst us, what are some of those things that need renewed amongst us? In the first century church, the emphasis was on the Holy Ghost, wasn't it? You know, there's a lack of people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Do we as a group need renewing in that area of people having spirit-filled lives? If a congregation has 50 members, and there are 10 members that have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, you know the majority of these people are carnal. That congregation, the majority is carnal. 50 people in the congregation, and only 10 of them had the infilling of the Holy Ghost. A pastor has to deal with a carnal congregation.
Yes.
Is that something that pastors like to deal with? Well, let's say the people that we assemble with, let's say there's 5,000 of them. Use that figure. And out of 5,000 of these that we assemble with, has a spirit-filled life. Would we be a movement that is spirit-led and filled? When the majority do not have a spirit-filled life, do we need reviving?
Yes.
Do we need revival of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And when there are carnal people that have the lack of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, they are going to have an impact and influence.
Yes, that's true.
Brother Austin's preached about a mixed multitude. And the mixed multitude that followed Israel had an influence on Israel. They fell lusting first. And then the people of God. And so, there is a danger that the majority of those that we assemble with are not spirit-filled.
Yes.
And that's a great disadvantage. One thing that they had in the first century church, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Every one of them. And they had power. They had power. And the emphasis was on the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But today, those that we assemble with is the majority filled with the Spirit, or is the majority lacking the infilling? There's a great need, isn't it?
Yes, that's so. Yes.
And when that is the case, there's problems and problems. And when people are not spirit-filled, they have other interests. They have other desires and they have influences. So may God bless us today. Pray for a spirit-filled church.
Yes.
Spirit-filled congregations. Maybe you who are pastors can distinct and discern those who are spirit-filled that come to your services and those who are not. Would they be in the the Spirit-filled ones, would they be in the majority? Brother Fuller's shaking his head. And I don't think his congregation is the exception, is it, Brother?
No, it's not. That's general.
So you see what the pastors have to deal with? The pastors have to deal with carnal people rather than spiritual.
That's true.
So, may God bless us. We need His help, don't we?
Yes.
We need the Holy Spirit, folks.
Amen.
We need the Holy Spirit. May God revive.
Yes.
Those dry bones was hopeless looking. They were hopeless looking. But God was able to make them spirit-filled. And God still wants to fill people with His Spirit. He still wants them to respond to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But just a small percentage of people who come and kneel down at an altar ever seek the experience of the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
Just a small. And you know, a lot of people died in the wilderness, didn't they?
Yes.
They wanted to stay on that side of Jordan. And the Lord let them stay on that side of Jordan. And they died in the wilderness. A lot of people have died without getting the infilling of the Holy Spirit.
That's true.
And that tragedy of the parable of the five wise and the five foolish. The five foolish had made some preparations. You stand them up in a row, you probably couldn't tell which was wise, and you probably couldn't tell which was foolish. From the outer appearance, the external. And they had other similarities. They slumbered and slept. They all had a lamp, which could represent the Word of God. But they had a lack of the Holy Spirit. At the designated time, the bridegroom came. And they didn't enter in. They had the money to buy, and they knew where to buy it. But they neglected it. And then the wedding party went to the designated place, and the door was closed. And the others come, and they knock. And some of the saddest words in the Bible would be, "I don't know you." It's serious not to have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They missed out because they did not have the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So may God bless us today. If you realize that there is a very serious need amongst those that we assemble of the Holy Spirit. People can operate in the human.
Yes.
They can program the Holy Spirit right on out of the belly. There needs to be a revival.
Yes.
Of people loving God. Having that relationship with God.
Yes.
You can have all kinds of activities to fill people up with, but if they don't have a relationship with the Lord,
amen,
they're lacking the most important thing.
Yes.
Do we need a revival in our congregations of people loving the service of God enough to come Sunday night?
Yes, that's so. All right.
Wednesday night?
Yes. And sometimes Sunday morning. That's true.
Wasn't too long ago I had been in Missouri and went to a congregation in Oklahoma. I was on Sunday night and we were there for the night service. Not very many people. Not many people. Is it that way in your congregation?
Yes.
Do you have overflows on Wednesday nights? We need revival, folks. But the good news that I have, the Lord wants to revive. He wants to bring life to dry bones. He wants to enliven dead congregations.
Yes.
Should there be any that's operating without love like that one that Sister Jenny's read about? He wants the revival of the love of God.